What it is?
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor. And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to another episode of Hard Factor. It is Thursday, February 14th, and happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, shit.
What?
Forgot again.
All right, our top stories of the day. Mark's going to do one. He's going to tell us what's going on at NASA this week.
What's more romantic than a lot of stories about NASA?
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Jinx. I'm going to do one about Paul Manafort losing his plea deal. Pat's going to take a local news doubleheader all about cages.
Yeah, cages in the state of Texas, baby.
Sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds horrifying. Yeah, that's terrifying. And then Wes is going to take us through a lightning round of other headlines. Take it away, Mark.
Well, it's Valentine's Day, and if you're like me, you are lonely and can't wait to make love to a bottle of vodka and a pack of cigarettes later. Maybe text some exes and fish for some comments like, "You are a good person. You just need to change this and that and everything about you." Sounds like fun, but I'll tell you what, at least I will be a comfortable lonely son of a bitch in my Tommy John boxers, and that makes things infinitely better. I kid you not when I say these are the best and most luxuriously comfortable pair of boxers I have ever owned. You need to give them a shot. They will change your life. Tommy John is redefining comfort for men and women with luxuriously soft, feather-light, moisture-wicking underwear that moves with you, not against you, with no pinching, no bunching, and no riding up. It's no wonder Tommy John has sold over 6 million pairs. And with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee, if you don't love your first pair, you'll get a full refund. So there's no excuse not to try these boxers out. Shop limited edition Valentine's Day gift sets and get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/hard. That's TommyJohn.com/hard for 20% off. Only at TommyJohn.com/hard. TommyJohn.com/hard.
Okay, so NASA has announced a new two-year space mission to study the beginnings of the universe and solve the mystery of evolution by determining how common the ingredients for life are within the planetary systems in our galaxy, which, of course, our galaxy is the Milky Way galaxy. So, just the most impossible mission of all time.
Yeah, sounds literally impossible.
Isn't this what they've been trying to do since they started NASA? Wasn't this the point of NASA?
I don't know. We're like, Yes.
Space exploration.
Yes. Yeah. What are they just going to send Tom Cruise up there in a solo craft? Mission Impossible.
He'd figure it out.
Maybe they should just go watch Prometheus and call it a day. Another movie joke about the beginnings of times. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to it. How the fuck are they going to accomplish this impossible feat, you ask? Why? With the spectrophotometer for the history of the universe, epoch of reionization, and ISIS Explorer, of course.
Duh. Oh. Yeah.
What'd you say about Rihanna?
That's the name of the spaceship or spacecraft they're going to use. It's nicknamed Spherex.
It's also called Christian's worst nightmare.
Yeah. Sure is. Yeah. Sounds like a...
The Spherex is a lot better than the long name.
That's true. Yeah. It sounds like a James Bond movie merged with like a acne remover. But they're launching this ridiculously named spacecraft in 2023, so in 4 years, for the low cost of $242 million, minus additional launch cost, of course, and some other shit. Yeah. So I guess the thing is going to use, I thought it was going to be like a big vacuum that just sucked up space dust and was like, this is part of space. This is a different part of space. But it's going to use infrared.
But surprisingly, you were wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong. It's going to use infrared and optical. So it's just going to scan all the stars in the galaxy and send back data to a room full of pantless, smelly nerds who will start jerking off the second a new type of molecule is sent back to them by Spherex. Like, beep, 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 beep. Intermission. Oh, my God.
I like the idea of sucking up space dust way more.
Yeah, I think that would have worked better.
I mean, $242 million is quite the bargain to figure out all of life's unanswered questions.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, because I'm sure it'll actually achieve that goal. Yeah.
That's true, and I'm sure that's what they told President Trump, who was confused during the briefing.
He was so confused, and they were like, hold on, let's cut to the chase. We're going to tell you everything, and it's called Spherex.
Sold. Because the guy doesn't even like to protect the environment on Earth. I don't think he wants to spend that much money on like figuring out.
That's a drop in the bucket for him, for Spirix.
One more NASA story for you. Doubleheader of NASA here. Oh, get your NASA here. One of the most successful feats of interplanetary exploration ever, NASA's Opportunity rover has come to an end after nearly 15 years. The Opportunity rover explored the surface of Mars and roved around for like 15 years. It was just going around Mars like R2-D2 in a Star Wars
movie.
They left
it up there for 15 years?
Yeah.
It was just like, kill me, please.
Well, it was never coming back. It's like it's like WALL-E. Have you seen WALL-E, the movie?
Let's hope it didn't become sentient up there. It would have been lonely.
What a great movie. We should should just watch WALL-E instead of talking about NASA. The Opportunity rover stopped communicating with Earth when a severe planet-wide dust storm that's the size of Mars, just the entire planet gets in a dust storm every once in a while, blanketed its location in June of 2018. And then after more than 1,000 commands to restore contact, so these guys were just trying 1,000 times to communicate to the thing.
Desperate
from Earth.
Nerds. It's like Wes's drunk texts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With no avail after these 1,000 commands, the Opportunity was the Opportunity was not able to repair itself whatsoever. Eventually, these engineers in the space flight operations facility at NASA's Genius Department said, let's just try one more time, and if Opportunity continues to ignore us, we'll call it a day.
They hit the protocol. There's a certain number of attempts.
1,001, apparently. Yeah,
and they all hugged and cried.
So the fucking thing was clearly just destroyed back in June. It just got tipped over.
Yeah, like a tortoise.
Broke. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, it's a 15-year-old WALL-E. It's definitely about to break down.
Right. It was just covered in dust. Its server board's all fucked. So
struggling on its back.
Some cool facts about the Opportunity. It was only designed to last 90 Martian days, which I don't know if it's shorter or longer than Earth
Day.
But it
was a sick joke. They made it live way longer and just be up there by itself.
Yeah, and it was only supposed to travel 1,000 meters, but instead it lasted 14-plus years, exceeding its life expectancy by 60-fold.
Someone's an overachiever.
Yeah, no shit. And traveled more than 28 miles before being annihilated by a giant sandstorm on aptly named Perseverance Valley.
So hold on, Mark. Did you say sandstorm?
What a great song. Yeah. But hey, guys, don't worry. NASA still has the Curiosity rover and the InSight lander on Mars sitting around telling us absolutely nothing important about Mars. So,
thank God.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to all live there one day, so better take notes, you know.
I better quit smoking.
The Opportunity was the first resident of Mars.
All right, let's talk about Paul Manafort losing his plea deal. All right. I love days like today when nobody wants to take the political story, but the political story happens to be about my man in the ostrich suit, Paul Manafort.
Mm-hmm.
So what's old Polly gotten himself into now, you ask?
What?
Well.
Yeah, what has he gotten into, Will?
Well, it's not surprising, but a U.S. District Judge, Amy Berman Jackson, ruled on Wednesday that Manafort's plea deal to combine all of his charges into one reduced sentence from the Mueller investigation was null and void since Paul flubbed up a few things during his testimony. So
sounds like a few credit collectors that are like, just put all your credit cards into one.
Just right here.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, you forgot to tell us about these 7 credit cards.
Right. It doesn't
work.
Sorry.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. That's what happens.
Sounds like you and me might have the same amount of credit cards. Well.
Yeah. Seems part of the deal was telling the truth.
We should talk after the show.
Yeah. I've consolidated my debt, my friend. You gotta go.
Okay. You're
need those reviews, guys.
We have a sponsor. Shit. I forget the sponsor we have. Seems part of the deal was telling the truth. Who knew? Anyways, the judge basically wrote that Paul intentionally lied about payments he received for legal bills about another unnamed Justice Department criminal investigation. So he didn't tell the truth about something he knew about, and about his interactions with his longtime Russian associate, Konstantin Klimenik. Yeah. So
awesome
that
name.
Happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an amazing name.
We sure that guy's Russian?
Yeah.
Oh, very, very. Or maybe Ukraine. No, Russian. But anyways, that all happened while he was the Trump campaign chairman or after. So there's not much else to really say about this. Manafort still may receive leniency in his 2 upcoming sentencings because he had already pled guilty, obviously, as part of the plea. But he might not get leniency since his plea got voided for not being completely truthful. So who knows? Maybe Mueller's going to try to squeeze him during the upcoming trial with Roger Stone because Manafort and Stone.
Oh.
Very close.
You think he's going to try to get him to chirp?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's always trying to get him to chirp, but with Stone, Roger Stone and Paul Manafort have been in business together for years.
Oh.
And so what's really interesting about all this is that the same judge, Amy Berman Jackson, she's the one who's going to rule on whether or not to put a gag order on Roger Stone leading up to his trial with Mueller. So that's just a lot of connections. And if you know anything about Roger Stone and Paul Manafort and how kind of entertaining they are as DC sort of swamp personalities, get your popcorn ready, because them going against Mueller is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, well, I mean, anytime you get Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, and Constantine Kilimnik in a room, some bad shit's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Lots of scotches, lots of shady deals. And if you haven't seen Get Me Roger Stone on Netflix, you gotta watch that before all this trial shit heats up, because it really kind of shows you why these dudes are kind of funny to pay attention to.
They're just like, how many murders have you covered up? I've covered up 4.
I'm going to go with Constantine's.
Constantine
in the
has
lead.
The most murders
in
of
the
three of them. Of
oh,
the
yeah,
three
I would say so.
Constantine's walked in on more dead bodies than Ron Jeremy.
Yeah. Taking it to the internet on the Manafort ruling, these comments come from WFLA Tampa. And I'm probably just going to always go back to a Florida news outlet for my comments from here on out, because the comment section is like a college party where everybody's like posting their dankest memes against the wall. It's a pretty fun place.
Yeah, I'm surprised you even made the show. You should be in a rabbit hole of WFLA comments.
Yeah, WFLA is the shit, man. All right, Kelly Keene, she kicks it off saying, MSM is focusing on Manafort because there is now email proof that the FBI was working with Clinton's lawyers on the email scandal. The DOJ just found all the Page/Strzok text messages that the FBI said were gone. Oh, and has anyone seen RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, in the last 50 to 75 days?
Yeah, a lot of doctors have.
Yeah, I think she broke her ribs and got cancer at the same time. Yeah,
a few doctors.
Yeah. Which is rare.
The internet, doctors. She's a
Kelly believes every single troll article that she's read, Russian bot article, she has believed it. Completely. Yeah. David Loomis, he responds with a meme, and it's of two jail cells near each other. And the first bubble coming out of one jail cell says, "But her emails." And then the other jail cell says, "Fuck off, Manafort."
Yeah, they're sick of hearing it in jail, Manafort.
Yeah.
That's good radio there, describing the memes.
Hey, verbal meme is
verbal
time.
Memes.
Coined
it.
Here's one more.
No, that's a part of my take thing.
We got more.
John Matlock, he replies with that with a meme of his own, was not happy with the Manafort in jail meme. He says, "Dear liberal males, if Chastity Bono can become a man, maybe there's hope for you too." And I think he meant Chastity transitioning to Chaz.
It's a handsome photo of Chaz too they used.
Yeah.
Looks like a man to me.
He did not mean it as a compliment. And then finally, Les Opeed replies and he says, "He is a traitor to the nation, morons. Wake up or move to Russia, false patriots." So
I hate false patriots.
Yeah, this Florida comment section is the shit.
Good call.
Don't leave your baseball hat on during the national anthem around Les. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God, no.
So moving on, sheeple. Let's talk about Texas cages. This week has been a huge week for the state of Texas and cages. Probably one of the biggest on record since Stone Cold Steve Austin defeated his boss, Vince McMahon, in the St. Valentine's Day Massacre cage match back in 99.
What page? What pay-per-view was that on, Pat? Did you watch it?
Oh, no, I just Googled good cage matches. I've got two stories here, and as a bonus, one of them is a soft corner. Let's get into it. So this is the soft corner one. It's kind of sad. Four malnourished siblings, all aged 5 or younger, have been placed in foster care after authorities found them hungry and thirsty in a North Texas barn. Two of them were locked in a dog cage, while the others were smeared with excrement, authorities said.
So it was either cage or poop smearing?
I'm going poop between the two.
You would pick that?
I'd rather smell bad and be free. Yeah. Law enforcement found the children while responding to a domestic disturbance call on Tuesday, and deputies found the oldest two kids locked in a 3x3-foot cage.
Come on.
And the other two were filthy and partially closed.
That's fucked up.
It's fucked up.
This is like a fucking thing. It's the same thing as the California nut jobs that got caught doing this shit.
Why do they have these kids if they're too crazy and lazy to raise them?
Because that's why they have them, because they didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
Condoms itch, Mark.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
I'm not condoning it, but kids
are
annoying.
It's a vicious cycle. You should really feel bad for them. These people are actually the victims, okay? These are the victims, the people putting their kids in cages.
According to Wise County Sheriff Lane Aiken, the children were starving, and that's That's sad because there was a plentiful supply of food that had been locked inside the cabinets in the refrigerator in the barn that they were being held in.
So they weren't even like poor. They just had food.
Oh, they were definitely poor, Mark, but they weren't no food poor.
Where they kept their food, too.
Yeah, they were like no health insurance, no education.
Next to the kids.
No common sense poor, but they had food.
Next to the kids.
It's fucked up. Two of the softest adults of all time, this is why they're in the soft corner, were apprehended. Both of them 24. They were found on the scene and taken into custody. One of them is Paige Isabel Harkins, and she was the mother of all four children, if you could even call her a mother. And the other was Andrew Joseph Fabilia, who's the father of just one of the children, and I'm guessing one in a long line of men with shitty genes that Harkins calls my baby daddy.
Yeah. Hey, Harkins, you get that cock out of your mouth.
I don't think Wes has seen a porno like this. I think
the other two, the other two baby daddies or three baby daddies or one baby daddies aren't saints either, though, because they're nowhere around for these kids that are in the cages.
They left years ago. That's
right.
Their MO.
Yeah, probably after Paige cut off their penises. I'm guessing, right?
Stories like this are usually all to blame on the dude who comes in and is sick of taking care of the other dude's kids and just says, "Lock them up. Fuck it."
The other dudes were pretty transparent when they told Paige that condoms are itchy and that they won't wear them. Yeah. So she kind of took her chances.
She's a creature of her environment.
She loves
Paige
too hard.
Paige is complicit in this shit. Off the hook. What the fuck is going on here?
She does love too hard, Wes. You're right. Yes. And look, each of them were charged with four counts of criminal endangerment. This is not funny. In addition to Harkins being charged with aggravated assault to Joseph's face, because his face had like 45 lacerations, and it kind of looked like he and Harkins had some kinky Freddy Krueger cosplay, honestly.
Well, there's where the other fathers went. They got raked during sex.
They got bobbited.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. It's fucked up.
So you think maybe the kids were there, like the fathers are just dead, and she had to lock them up to cover up the murders?
I'm guessing they searched the scene after they found two children in cages, but maybe not. I don't know. Maybe
Hopefully they searched.
Jeez, Wes is a real Sherlock Holmes. He's figured it out.
I figured it all out, guys.
At
it
first,
all comes
she was
down
completely innocent, and now she's a serial killer.
Murder, love.
These pieces of shit locked their fucking kids in cages and let them starve while there was food in sight. These marshmallow human beings deserve the worst kind of fucking punishment. If you ask me, it's a neutering for both of them. They should be immediately neutered. His balls gone, her ovaries or her brass uterus ripped out of her. Shut these fuckers down, man.
I agree with you.
I mean, that was an intense description, but yeah.
I'm not happy. All right, well,
I want to hear more Hercules Poirot's theories, though, over here.
Yeah, I mean,
who's that?
You know who that is. All right, in lighter cage news, two stoners in Houston, Texas were surprised to say the least when they had entered an abandoned home to toke up and they found a live tiger.
What?
Uh-oh. Yeah, Houston police officers and animal control agents arrived at the home and met one of the stoners who had found the tiger, who I'm sure at that point was having a really out there day.
Yeah, that'll change your day real quick.
Did you get Sea Tiger brand? What strand is this?
Yeah, he got Sea Tiger weed.
Yeah, Sea Tiger?
Yeah, apparently the officers could hear and smell the tiger when they arrived on site, but they needed a warrant to enter the home, and that's when the stoner chimed in. I went in without a warrant, man. You're cool.
Nice.
Yeah. But too bad somebody lost that tiger.
No, I know. Someone's in big trouble.
Yeah, it was an abandoned house that had a tiger that was like healthy, so it's not like... Clearly, someone was storing a tiger in there to sell to a multimillionaire on the black market.
They were going
to
be the legal drug meetup later.
And they lost
tiger meetup.
Somebody lost a tiger.
And probably their life if they don't go on the run really quickly.
Kevin had one job.
Yeah, tiger got too smelly. They were probably keeping it in the basement, and then they were like, whoa, this tiger is smelly. We got to find
They don't tell you that when you're buying a tiger, the tiger smell. They don't tell you that.
It smells like
should be a warning.
Tigers. Guys that lose tigers don't get fired. They get murdered.
Right.
That's true.
Right. I've never lost a tiger that was waiting for an all-cash sale, but it's something that I hope I never do.
I lost Will's dog once, and it was horrible.
We got the dog.
Yeah, that was bad enough.
That was bad.
Imagine a tiger.
No one tells you to not take dogs to fireworks. I didn't know. Look, the authorities found the tiger in a cage in the garage, and they called in a forklift to haul the tiger out. So the tiger's safe. He or she, the sex has not been identified. Is at an animal sanctuary somewhere in Texas? And during an interview with the New York Times, Laura Cottingham, who's the chief of staff for the city's administration and regulatory affairs department, she weighed in by saying, "This is not the first tiger that we've been called out to investigate." Yes. So apparently it's a problem in Houston.
Someone's buying up tigers out there.
Yeah.
No, that's that.
No tiger cartel. All right. And some stories we didn't get to cover. In Washington State, an unexpected blizzard has killed over 1,800 cows across 12 farms. And farmers are freaking out at not only the loss of their livelihood, but also as to what to do with the dead cows. You want to steal my jokes again?
That's a lot of dead cows. No, I just came up with them independently because they're so goddamn
they're obvious.
Yeah.
Maybe have a barbecue, Wes. But what do they do?
Hey, what jokes did you have about
apparently,
this?
Apparently, these farms consisted of mostly dairy cows, but I'm still not sure why they can't just slice those babies up in some ribeyes. Pretty sure the dairy cows also have meat on them, and they're probably still pretty fresh considering they're froze to death.
Yeah, they might last a while.
Those were the great jokes.
Hey, no, you missed one. You should have made one about milkshakes. Milkshakes.
Oh, shit.
Damn. Okay. But originally, the storm was only supposed to
dump the episode over
around 4 inches of snow on the Yakima Valley region, but suddenly the storm gained strength and dumped 24 inches in some areas and had gusts of up to 80 miles an hour, which is the perfect storm to kill some cows, apparently. Especially because that region only gets around 8 inches of rain per year, and the cows are kept in pens without walls, so just completely exposed to the elements. When the storms hit, the farmers scrambled to protect their herds with hay bales, but could not contest with the winds.
Oh, wait, that didn't work?
Yeah.
The hay bale wall they built didn't work?
Yeah, those were only 30-mile-an-hour hay bales.
Yeah, the West Coast is having an epically wet winter. There's going to be, like, landslides in California and shit's going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah. And going back to a story we covered yesterday, the El Chapo case, where we noted that the drug lord made $14 billion over the span of his career, Ted Cruz is coming out and saying he has a great way that we can use that illegal money once again. Quoting Cruz, $14 billion will go a long way to secure our southern border and hinder the illegal flow of drugs, weapons, and individuals. So Cruz wants to again seize El Chapo's money and build the wall. This goes along with his El Chapo Act, which he reintroduced last month. A bill
come
that
on.
Come on. Yeah. That's not the official name.
He called it the El Chapo. Okay.
Yeah. The bill that would guarantee that any money forfeited from El Chapo and other drug cartels would do exactly
that. But where is El Chapo's money sitting?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It's probably
in
a tunnel. Like, I loves tunnels.
Right. Probably in, like, the Sinaloa cartel's, like, dead.
Walls.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, right. This time.
Did. So, like, what are you just going to go in there and just get shot up and ask for the money? Hello, Sinaloa cartel. Can I have the $14 billion? That's not going to work.
Yeah, it's not a chase.
Yeah. It's not, like, how it's not sitting around.
Cruz needs to stand down or this Pee Wee Herman motherfucker's going to be dead.
Yeah, he's going to get offed. Yeah. And in the first heartless statement from prison by Bill Cosby, he says, quote, "My political beliefs, my actions of trying to humanize all races, genders, and religions landed me in this place surrounded by barbed wire fencing."
Oh, that's what landed him there.
A room made of steel and iron, yeah.
I thought it was the rapes.
Yeah, I think it was the rapes that got him in there.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. He went on to say about his prison quarters that it, quote, "resembles the quarters of some of the greatest political prisoners, Martin Luther King Jr., Mahatma Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Randall Robinson." I don't know who the fuck that is, honestly. "And Dr. Benjamin Chavez."
And now me.
I don't know who that is either.
And now me.
Yeah. So he, he's
come on.
He's a political prisoner.
I give Cosby 6 months till death. He's losing it. This is the beginning of the end for him.
Well, he full out believes that he's a political prisoner, not a serial rapist.
Well, if your politics are serial rape, then you are getting persecuted for what you believe in. You know what I mean?
I would love, though, to hear the Mandela Cosby comparison, like somebody who's, like, really into it, like who really believes that.
Yeah. And to make things worse.
Yeah, if you have that take, just send it to Will directly.
Yeah.
don't share it with the world.
They were both huge in South Africa in the 80s. I don't know. Like,
there you go.
Is that a good
take? That's about it.
That's
pretty good.
There you go. Nailed it.
I like that. And to make things worse, his spokesman, Andrew Wyatt, who just is paid to visit him, I guess, chimed in with this about his visit
to Cosby. His honorary grandson.
Yeah. He's, quote, "he's not sad, he's not remorseful, because he did nothing wrong.
But he is horny.
The sheer volume of people coming forward making an accusation doesn't mean that it's true, and what America has said is that women don't lie. Women do lie."
All of them?
Every single one of them.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Andrew Wyatt's going to have to just keep doing this and hope that Cosby survives a few more years, because he's never going to get another job
after
this.
Yeah, he really hoped that he stays.
Notice how it said his spokesperson, not his lawyer, because Wyatt doesn't
It's just a guy on his payroll.
Yep. Brings them things. And a quick update on our weight loss competition. Yes, it's still going on, and it will be over April 3rd for all of you who could care less about our health progress and bettering our lives.
Once a week for a minute, guys.
Yeah. Following our trip to HQ to entertain you, deplete our bank accounts and stuff our faces with booze and food, we actually did not do that bad. Mark earned yet another golden broccoli, losing 2.3 pounds after a classic 48-hour fast.
Yeah, I'm down 51 pounds, but everyone's complaining about the weight loss competition. Yeah. How about a little congratulations?
A little credit to Mark. Pat came in second this week with 1.5 pounds lost after only ingesting smoothies for 3 days.
That's three smoothies total.
Yeah. I came in third with 1 pound lost, even after eating a hungover patty melt meal from Whataburger today, so I'm going to give myself an extra 3 pounds today. And Will managed to not gain despite staying the extra day in New York City and being sick all week with a 0.2-pound loss. So all in all, not that bad. Mark's still in a commanding lead, and the race for last is still up in the air between the other three of us fatties. And finally, we want to thank everyone at HQ for their tremendous help and support, including our CEO, Erica, PFT commenter, Mikey, Kate, Big Cat, Tyler, Gaz, Spider, Andrew, Allison, Brett, Daniela. It was great seeing all of you. Sorry if I missed anyone. We will see you all again soon. And thanks to Gay Pat for judging our bodies in person. I'm sorry, but we are going to continue to get less thick. We hope you will still find us somewhat fuckable by the end of this competition. Also,
we can't shave any hair. You got to keep all the hair.
Yeah. Also, we are starting a new challenge to you, the best fans in the world, especially those who have been craving Friday shows. We will have more on that on Monday's show. Spoiler, we want you to leave more great reviews.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Unlike this next one.
Unlike this fucking next one from G. Berta, you piece of shit. Here is our favorite iTunes comment of the day. And I must note, we do not mind being hated on, but we do mind one-star reviews, and this will be the last one we read. If you want your hateful review read, you at least have to give us 5 stars. So this one-star review coming from someone who still apparently listens to us every day, but fucking hates us. The title is Can't Handle the Laugh. It is an okay news rundown, poorly researched and reported.
Okay.
Who is this, Kate?
Yeah, the host.
But the worst part is in recent episodes, one of the hosts has developed a weak little stoner laugh, like if Seth Rogen had a little sister. They also talk about weight loss competition no one asked about. So.
Who is it? Thanks. So one of us is sick. So G. Berta listens to, seems like, dozens and dozens of shows.
Yeah, loves it.
Doesn't, no, doesn't
I think it's
like
my
us.
Laugh this yeah. week when I've been sick.
Is annoyed by
here,
us.
Let's hear it, Will.
Episodes.
Is that it,
funny.
G. Berta?
I can't really just like
hey,
laugh.
G. Berta, make better decisions. This if you don't like the show, listen to NPR.
There's a good chance it's my mom again.
Yeah, it could be.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, well, right. Okay.
Well, yeah, like I said, keep them coming. We love the 5-star reviews. We will read your hate.
Yes, again, we'll never read anything but a 5-star review ever again.
Yeah. We live in Texas, and there's a cage waiting for you here at G. Berta.
Yeah,
come on down and visit.
G. Berta, from all of us at Hard Factor, eat a big fat dick.
Yeah. Suck it.
All right, and that's it for Hard Factor this week. Thank you again for listening. We will see you again Monday. Have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. Thank you so much.